You're listening to Cross the Border. We're continuing here. We've got to chapter 6 of 1 Samuel. The Philistines have the Ark of God, the God of Israel, and it continues here. And the Ark of the Lord, and of course in authorized King James Version, it says the Lord. In the Hebrew, they would have actually had used the name we have from Yahuwah, from the Textus Receptus, from which they translated the authorized version. We have the name, Yahuwah. And if you mouse over the 36:8, that's what you'll find. So we know when you're reading the Old Testament that wherever it says the Lord, it's the name of the Creator. And sometimes the word Lord used in a certain context will simply mean be the word Adonai, which is comparable to our English word for Lord today. And wherever it says God, the word is usually Elohim. And when it says the God of Israel, that's what it's saying, the Elohim of Israel. It's saying Yahuwah, or the Lord, the God of Israel. So, the Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the Ark of the Lord? I mean, everybody's getting sick. Their Dagon God was broken after bowing down to the Ark several times. It finally broke in pieces. And everybody's breaking out in sores and boils. And they're attributing it, yes, to the Ark of the Covenant being in their midst, this foreign God. This is a God of power. Dagon never helped or hurted anybody because he was only in their imaginations. So they call their priests, the priests, the diviners, and say, what shall we do to the Ark of the Lord, or Yahuwah? And would they have used the name Yahuwah? Yes, they would have heard that, because they would have called the people of God. They would have called him the Yahudi. That would be like saying American. You know, because you're from America, so they would have been the people of God, the Yahudi. No, they were not Jews. Nobody called anybody a Jew then, because that term did not exist. Of course, when we read that, we know that it refers to the people of God of that day, or national Israel of that day. When we see the word Jew in the scripture, we know what it's referring to. But, like I say all the time, I'm into biblical studies, so we discuss all these things, and we understand all these things by our biblical studies, because we apply ourselves to know these things. If you want a shallow Bible study, if you don't care about these things or just don't want to hear about them because they offend your sensibilities or your brainwashing and mind control that you have received from the corporate church and what you believe to be true, if it, you know, offends your sensibilities, well, don't listen to this. You know, go somewhere else. There's plenty of corporate teachers out there who are willing to truncate and water down the word just for you. Well, not just for you, but, you know, because they don't want to upset the apple cart. They don't want to lose their position. They don't want to jeopardize their 501c3 not-for-profit status and lose their position and their salaries, pension plans, and all those benefits that come with joining themselves to the state and becoming a state corporation. What fun, what fun. Just think how much money we could make if we did that. That's the point. Okay, moving on. What shall we do? Tell us, wherewith shall we send it to its place? And they said, if you send away the ark of God, of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering, then you shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Then said they, what shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden emerods, 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. One plague was on you all and your lords. and five golden emeralds and five golden mice. Okay, we'll continue. That's the wisdom of the priests and diviners of Dagon and the Philistines, the gods of the Philistines. It just sounds kind of silly reading about it. Five golden emeralds and five golden mice. Wherefore you shall make images of your emeralds. Now, I got that picture right. That's why that's kind of a gross picture. We're going to make golden emeralds. You shall make images of your emeralds and images of your mice that mar the land. And you shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure, he will lighten his hand from off you, and from off your gods, and from off your land. Wherefore then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians of Pharaoh? It's still in the forefront of their mind what the God of Israel did to the Egyptians. They're not that far removed. They remember. Wherefore do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go and they departed? Now therefore make a new cart and take two milch knee. What is that? I guess I should have, milk. Take two milch knee and, milk cows. Oh, milk. It's not knee. It's kine. I already knew kine. Take two milk cows. Thank you, King James English. Take two milch kine. Okay, take two milk cows. I'll interpret that for you. On which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine, that is cows, to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord, and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of the gold, which you return him for a trespass offering, and that's the mice and the boils, in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. And see if it goeth up by the way of his coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. And that was the hardening of the Pharaoh's heart, because he just thought, well, it was just chance. It wasn't really the God of Israel. You know, that was the hardening of his heart, you know. People just believing, not believing in the God of Israel, not believing the word of God, but just writing it off to chance, just happenstance. And the men did so, and took the two milch kine, that is milk cows, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the coffer with the mice and the gold images of their emeralds. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark, and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Beth Shemite, and stood there, where there was a great stone, and they cleaved the wood of the cart, and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. He was a Beth Shemite, and that means that he was of the house of Shem. That's a Beth Shemite, and they call them Semites. That's where we get the word Semite today. And you hear it mostly in anti-Semitic, or so anyway, understanding there. He was a Beth Shemite, and he offered the milk cows a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord, and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrificed sacrifices the same day unto Yahuwah. And when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. And these are the gold and emeralds which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord, and Ashdod, for Ashdod one, Gaza one, for Ashkelon one, for Gath one, and for Ekron one. And the gold mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both of fenced cities and of the country villages, even unto the great stone of Abel, whereupon they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remaineth unto this day. And of course, that would be the day of the writing of that book that we're reading, in the field of Joshua the Beth-Shemite. And he smote the men of Beth-Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote the people 50,000 and 70 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth-Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before this holy Yahuwah God, and to whom shall he go up from us?" And they sent a messenger to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you." So they're experiencing the same problem, only worse. Many people are dying. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it unto the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the ark abode at Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spoke unto the house of Israel, saying, "If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and put away the strange gods, and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." Well, in America today, I got to go there, yes. I read the word Ashtaroth, and it reminds me of the calamity, of the pestilence, of the trespass of America in Ashtaroth. That's right. All the people of God, I liken to the house of Israel, the people of God today calling themselves Christians, going to their temples and celebrating Ashtaroth Sunday every year. Oh, they won't celebrate the Passover. Why? Why won't they celebrate the Passover? Oh, well, we're free. We're free from God's law, and we're free from his holy days. Yes, now we will celebrate pagan holy days. Bring in your bunnies and your Easter baskets, and we'll have an Easter egg hunt on the lawn of the White House. And we'll have Easter egg hunts, and everybody gets their pretty dresses and their Easter baskets, and they celebrate the fertility goddess, Ashtaroth. And they venerate her statue sitting over there in the harbor in New York. That's right. And she has the asterisk on her head. That's how you know it's Ashtaroth. She has the asterisk on her head, and they worship liberty as an occasion for the flesh. Liberty. And there's one preacher I heard him say that, oh, yes, that let every soul be subject to the higher liberty. Well, let them just go over there and bow down to Ashtaroth in the harbor of New York. It's the higher liberty. The homosexuals love it. Higher liberty. Let every soul be subject to the higher liberty. You know, and that liberty, what's the highest liberty? Well, liberty as an occasion for the flesh. Samuel says, if you do return unto Yahuwah, yeah, the God of Israel, the one who gave us the Ten Commandments, our Creator by name, with all your hearts, put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto Yahuwah, and serve him only. Stop serving mammon. Stop serving the flesh. Stop doing like Eli did for his sons, allowing them to do as they will. No, we can't allow people to do as they will. But we see the opposite today. We see that the churches are embracing homosexuality now. They've joined to the state. What choice do they have unless they separate themselves? And that's why the Spirit cries out, come out of her, my people, come out. You know, speaking of the churches, the great whore, and all her ecumenical daughters who have joined the fray, come out of her, my people. And that's the cry that Samuel is calling, come out, come out. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. And yes, we have the Philistines among us. It's a little different today. You know, the Philistines aren't over there, and they ain't coming in to conquer us. They have already conquered us. They are here. They are among us. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Well, yeah, gather, take in the circumstance there. They're going, we have sinned. And fear enters their heart because they see what they are and what they have been. And they believe, we have sinned. The Lord is not with us. We have sinned. But they're confessing their sins. Let's see what happens here. When the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. You compare this with a people that are following wholly with their heart. Now here they're just going, we have sinned. And they're turning back to God, but they're still afraid. Where is the boldness that we have when we follow Him? When we're living our life to please Him, when we're being obedient to His commandments, when our actions are an epistle of our faith, when people, our works display our faith, the boldness that comes with that brings no fear at all. It says, be not afraid of sudden fear. It gives you self-control over the emotions that would take you if you did not have that self-control. And that self-control comes with obedience to the Heavenly Father and to His commandments. That's where you get self-control. If you don't have the self-control, then the emotion to fear, that temptation, will overtake you, as we see demonstrated here by the children of Israel. They were afraid of the Philistines. They were men. The problem was, they're watching people fall. 30,000 here, 4,000 there, and they all pick up and run from the battle because of their fear. The children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. You see how much one godly man can do, this man Samuel. And Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to the battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth-Kar. Chapter 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coasts of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass, and when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abia, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said to him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But this is seems to me a very sad ending, that Samuel, this great man of God, that his own sons were turned aside after lucre or mammon and took bribes and perverted judgment. It's what we have instituted in the land. It's part of the industry now that judges take bribes and pervert judgment. Very clever they are at doing it these days. We're going to pick up here in chapter 8 of Samuel next time on Cross the Border. Remember, there is nothing more important in this mortal life than you cross the border and hit into the kingdom of God and endure until the end. As always, in everything you say and in everything you do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.